Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is one of my favorite guests, Daryl Sequeira. Daryl, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me back, Rick. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And Daryl comes to us from Servite High School, where he's involved with the Religious Studies program, their theology
yes.
program. I understand you're the chair of the theology program
yes,
now.
Yes, chair of the department now, going my second year. So
fantastic. So if you wouldn't mind, would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Sure. As always, begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We place all of our needs this time of year, especially in this Easter season, before our Heavenly Father and giving thanks for the resurrected Christ. And so by the Easter mysteries, may you touch our lives with the healing power of your love. You have given us the freedom of the sons of God. May we now celebrate your gift, find joy in it forever in heaven. We ask this through the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I love having you on here because we usually have you on for one of two purposes. One, you have a background in American studies and you teach
yes.
American history at the college level. In addition to the work you have done for decades now in Catholic
education. Well, decades,
education.
That sounds like a long time, Rick. So.
Okay, you've been around about as long as I have
yes,
in Catholic
yes.
education. So we are old, Daryl. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, I know we are.
I've got more white in my beard, but not, you know, we're about a year apart.
That's
so
right.
It works that way. The bottom line is there is a great deal of things that are going on in Catholic education, and this is a time to start mm-hmm. thinking about it. We're now in spring, and that has a number of different triggers for most of
mm-hmm.
us, including love and romance, but it also
sure.
is back to school
mm-hmm.
next year.
Mm-hmm.
We've already had schools that have started waiting lists for next year.
Yes.
And some of the Catholic schools are not starting waiting lists yet, but they're mm-hmm. taking people in for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that at your school at Servite, they still have room for next year.
Yes, we do. We still have room for next year for young men who are interested in attending Servite High School. And so if you're interested, again, you can always contact the school offices and, you know, make contact with us and find out about our programs, what we've got going there.
Now, I do not want to turn this into an hour infomercial on
Servite High School. Sure, yeah, no, I get that, yeah.
But I do want to talk about why Catholic education. And this is something that I think our Catholic communities over the last several years have a need to be reminded of as
mm-hmm.
to what's so important about Catholic education.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of that is, frankly, it's often very expensive.
Yes,
to
no,
send
it
a child through
mm-hmm.
Catholic school. It makes quite an incentive to figure out reasons why you don't have to send your child to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask you just point blank, this is your mm-hmm. bread and butter, this is
yes.
what you do. Why is it that it is such a benefit that a family would want to sacrifice in order to send their child to a Catholic school and get a Catholic education?
Well, I think the easiest or the short answer for that is, what do you want your children to grow up to be? Do you want them to be centered on Christ? Do you want them to have a faith life that carries through with the rest of their life and helps them continue to be men and women of Christ? That's a primary reason why I think anyone would send themselves, their children, to a Catholic school. You have no greater gift that God has given you than your kids. And so all the things aside, I mean, you could take that same money, and I've heard, you know, people I've talked with, well, I can take that money and I can invest it for retirement, or I can invest it or take a vacation and things. And these things are all good things. But really, where do you want your kids to be when they graduate high school? What kind of a person do you want them to become? You know, I've had now four kids graduate from high school. I have my son who's actually graduating from Servite this year, senior year, and all of them have remained faithful Catholics. Now, one of them has graduated from a Catholic high school. The other three of my daughters graduated from a public high school. Now my son is graduating from Servite. all of them, though, have gone through Catholic education, at least through the elementary school level, maybe not the high school level. But in all of that, speaking to who they are, those things have impacted their lives. It makes them who they are today. So I can speak of my own children in that sense, that their Catholic education, the sacrifices that my wife and I have made, and then the generosity of the schools themselves have helped us to be able to give them that educational opportunity. And there's a difference in that. That's really, you know, the fact that you go into a classroom and you pray. Christ is at the center. There's mass that you would attend. There are prayer services and things like that that makes that experience different at high school, especially in those formative years.
Did you go to a Catholic school when you were growing up?
Yes. My parents, again, sent us all the way through, all of us. We had four kids in my family. So each one of us had gone through Catholic elementary school in the LA Archdiocese. My brothers and sisters all went to Catholic high school through 4 years. My brother and I both went to Catholic colleges. My younger brother and sister went to UC Irvine and Cal State Long Beach. But we all went through Catholic education. I think that's made a difference in our own lives.
Well, and that would be my question. When you're reflecting on your own life, there are a couple of things that stand out in Catholic education. One has always been that it's an excellent education. It's
yes.
A good college prep education. There's mm-hmm. usually a lot of discussion mm-hmm. about how excellent the education
sure.
is. But there's also the Catholic formation, mm-hmm. the becoming Christian aspect mm-hmm. of going to a Catholic school. Which, if you had to choose, mm-hmm. do you think impacted you most, realistically?
For me, again, I went to a Catholic high school seminary, so my experience may have been a little bit different. But the fact that we did pray every day, the fact that we had teachers who understood that our mission, so to speak, at our school wasn't just to give an education, but to form young men, and again, high school, seminary, or young women, if you're a co-educational institution, to make that present to them in everything that you do, whether you're taking a math class, whether you're taking a science class, that's going to kind of permeate the atmosphere of the school. That's the direction that they're going to. Sure, we want our kids to graduate, go on to colleges, et cetera, universities. But the fact that that becomes a central focus, I think, for me personally, made a difference in my life. It helped to strengthen the marriage that I'm in, and I pass it on to my own kids. You know, I take that seriously enough. Even those who didn't go to a Catholic high school, for example, and it just simply is where he lived, it wasn't a possibility.
You live out in the hinterlands.
Yes, I live out in the areas of the Inland Empire.
Those who were able to come with you to go to Servite sure. were able to. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they really couldn't. There wasn't a Catholic
right,
high school
right.
in the area. Which is another issue as to how many people are able to get a Catholic mm-hmm. education. And there is some competition on that,
mm-hmm.
but it's also very expensive. You were talking about how, when we were talking about the money, that, you know, what do you want to invest in?
Yes.
And I guess I look at the value of our schools from an academic perspective, just from mm-hmm. a quality of education perspective. When I was going to school, I didn't go to Catholic education. I wasn't Catholic. I converted yep. over after my college days.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this California schools back in the 1970s, 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, when California was still number one or number two in the nation as
right,
far
yes.
as their schools went.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a real good quality education. But even I knew that this was not about God. This was mm-hmm. We didn't focus on God. We didn't have prayer in school. Well, I take that back. Before every test, everyone
That's
was
right.
praying.
As long as there's tests, there'll be prayer
by necessity,
in school.
Everyone does. But there wasn't prayer in school. There wasn't a focus on God. There wasn't a crucifix. There wasn't the ability for us to be reminded at different times that God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
There was always this, you are with you, and that's a good thing, but
right.
it's not necessarily the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today, California is not the best schools in the nation, though, mm-hmm. frankly, they're not bad either.
No.
If you compare our schools to most of the schools throughout the world, mm-hmm. even the schools that aren't measuring up on the testing mm-hmm. so well actually are very good schools.
Yeah.
So I go to Catholic schools. Are they qualitatively different than public schools? And if so, how?
Well, I think in terms of just if you're looking from a pure academic level, again, having my kids gone through public school and Catholic school, I mean, the academic level, as you point out, Rick, some of the public schools are excellent in what they do. I'm not going to, you know, say you can't get an excellent, but the qualitative difference, I think, again, is that Christ-centered education that you get at a Catholic school. So if there's something that takes place in our world, we come to it from a Catholic perspective. We can speak about those issues from the gospel perspective. again, I teach theology, so naturally when things come up in our world, we can discuss it from a theological perspective or bring Christ into it. We can talk about religions. We're open to be able to talk to the students about that. You know, we've had recent things in the news in you know, violence in schools and things like that. And so we reacted, not reacted per se, but we addressed those issues from a faith perspective. Something that's different. And I remarked to my students, you know, a few weeks ago about this, that, you know, we have the freedom to be able to discuss this, that if I were working in a public school, those issues could only be approached from maybe a psychological perspective or from a sociological perspective. We can approach those things from a theological or religious perspective to make sense of a world that's often, to be frank, doesn't make sense to us.
I was actually in Washington, D.C. on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
but I was campus minister at a high school up in a different diocese. And truth in our relationship, mm-hmm. you had actually hired me at that
yes.
high school.
Mm-hmm.
So you were the assistant principal there many years ago. And I was the campus minister. And I remember when 9/11 happened, phoning in to find out, so what are we doing with our kids?
Mm-hmm.
They were already across the street at the chapel. They were already
right.
in mass.
Mm-hmm.
They were already praying for the
yes.
people that were in those buildings that even hadn't come down yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, or at least the second one I remember hadn't come down yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction was always, we're focused on God. We're focused on God. We're focused mm-hmm. on God. And I remember when I hung up the phone, far away in Washington,
right,
not far from the Pentagon, and I remember that day seeing the smoke coming out of it, resting assured that the kids that I had been entrusted to as their campus minister, that they were being taken care of.
Yes.
Because all of the teachers were ministers. All of mm-hmm. the teachers had their eyes focused on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All of the teachers had that as their focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I am so glad that our kids have that, because for all of the quality that we have, and we had at that school, we were constantly expanding. What's the next AP class we could add mm-hmm. to our program? We were constantly trying to do that because, you know, there's another aspect to this, which we need to talk about in a minute, but it has to do with the community that's formed.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the ability to have those excellent trajectories mm-hmm. in education, but we had that focus on God.
Right. And that becomes a foundational element, you know, in a person's life, that you can rely upon God. You can speak about those issues. Again, to make it to more contemporary things, you know, in the last few months, we've had, again, the incidents that took place in Florida and the school walkouts. And not just our school, but a number of Catholic schools across the nation took that opportunity to pray for those victims, to come together as a community, not to take one side of the issue, political or not, but to make it an issue of, look, we've got issues in our society. You young people are dealing with different things than you and I, Rick, dealt with, you know, things with social media, things with all the things that are happening in their own lives. And so I think even more today, that becomes an important aspect of Catholic education, that we can look at those things, use technology in our classrooms, but from a moral perspective, that there's a right and wrong use of social media as an example of that.
I'd like to say that we have excellence in education. That's extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
We are excellent.
Yes.
But the real, I hate to use the word selling, but the real selling mm-hmm. factor for Catholic education is the Catholic part of it.
Yes.
That in a society that's gone nuts, and we mm-hmm. have a society that's gone crazy, we have the grounding of Jesus Christ
right.
as the center focus for our schools.
Well, we can build in, and this is what I discuss with my students, oftentimes, it doesn't have to be a tragic situation in our country, the idea that Christ and God gives us hope for the future. Not only hope in our own lives here, but hope for eternal life.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Daryl Sequeira from Servite High School. We are talking about the value of Catholic education. And when we come back, Daryl, I want to find out more specifically about what's going on at Servite High School, what's
okay.
been happening the last couple of semesters, last couple mm-hmm. of terms, and what's going on in the future. Again, you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we will be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California. And it really has been beautiful in this nice spring. One of the reasons why we live in Southern California is not August or September. It really is April. But that being said, we're talking about Catholic education, and we were talking a little bit about how in your life with your family, you've had a good experience, and we were also talking about the reasons why, the centrality of Christ and the centrality of the focus of God in the lives of the children, and how in a society that's gone crazy, and in some ways our society really has, how that really is a safe refuge for our children, for those of us who are Catholic, for those of us who are Christian. Specifically, though, you are coming out of Servite High School.
Yes.
It's a diocesan school, and it's not a diocesan school.
Right.
Let's define, first of all, what Servite is. Those who are in Orange County have heard the name. If you look up on the diocesan website, though, it doesn't come up the same as the other schools.
Correct. Correct.
So explain Servite High School.
Well, Servite High School is run by the Servants of Mary. It's an order that originates in Italy. And so Servite High School, like many of what we call the religious schools, whether it's Jesuit, Salesian, we take on the charism of the Servite Order, the Servants of Mary. And so we have a little bit different of a focus, so to speak, because all of our young men are referred to as friars. They're all referred to as being part of the brotherhood of the Servite Order. And so we purposely kind of put that into our whole mission as a school. You know, the centrality of Christ, which you've talked about, the primacy of faith. The necessity of the other, the idea that we are a community and imitating the life of Mary and Mary's yes to God at that very beginning that, again, brings about salvation to the world. So the Servite Order is a worldwide order, so they have priests and missions all around the world in Africa and Asia. In fact, two of our priests are on campus with us, are from India. So Father Steve and Father Joseph are both on campus, available for the students to go to confession, available for sacraments, mass to be offered on campus.
Okay, so you've got two priests that are on campus.
Correct, yes.
And then just you in general, your background, I know you went to seminary as a high school student.
Yes, a diocesan seminary.
And then you got your master's degree. You also served as both a principal and a president at the high school level. And now you're here at Servite, obviously is a very quality-centered educator as the chair of their theology department. When I send my child to Servite, what do I expect my child to encounter? How will they experience Servite High School?
Well, one of the things that we like to focus on is what we call the brotherhood at Servite. And so it is an all-male environment. So unfortunately, we don't obviously serve the females in our population. And they can go to Rosary or Connolly. Those are to our sister schools.
Or they can go to
co-educational institution. But we are an all-male environment.
My wife's alma mater. But
yes,
anyway.
Yes, our rival. But yes. we look
past
those things.
If I didn't mention it, my wife would be upset. So,
so again, you're sending your sons to us in order to be formed in a Christ-centered environment. I have my son who's graduating. I have another son who started there as a freshman this year as well. And so when I'm looking for something for my own kids, it's going to be something that's going to be Christ-centered, number one. You can expect the young men to, again, to get a good education, you know, in terms of the academics.
Okay, so the quality of the education, right up there.
It is, you know, our graduates go to, you know, top universities across the country. But more importantly, again, we like to focus on our formation program at Servite. And so each year they have small group settings where they meet in our priories. They are, again, instructed in the faith, but then they take that faith and put it into practice as well. So there's service projects that they have to do. A number of our young men will go out and serve the poor in the local park right next to the school. They'll prepare sandwiches and go out there. And so your sons are going to come in. They're going to get a great education, number one. But more importantly, we want to focus on that formational aspect, that spiritual formation. And whether or not they're Catholic or not, we take anyone who comes who's willing to come into our school, but at the same time, they understand that we are a Servite school, that we are a Catholic educational institution, that they're going to have theology all 4 years. And all of our theology teachers are going to understand that.
So you can come into Servite and be a non-Catholic Christian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can be a Jew. You can be a Muslim. You could be a Sikh. So long as you're willing to understand that the environment you're in is a Christian environment, and that while you don't have to, I assume, they can't take part in the actual sacraments, but they're going to attend.
But they're going to attend, and we ask them to attend, and they, and generally speaking, they all attend, and they're reverent, you know, they're quite respectful during the masses, and during any prayer services that we have, and we have at least mass as a school-wide community at least once a month, if not more than that, and then we have penance services, you know, at Lent and, Advent, and then throughout the day, again, there's other services and things that they can attend.
Not to mention a religion class every day.
Right, yes, every day. And even in that sense, you know, we've had students who've come in with, you know, either no faith or very little faith, and they actually convert to Catholicism. I mean, at least once a year, you know, we have individuals who, through their experiences at Servite, have come to understand, one, who Jesus Christ is. Secondly, what the Catholic Church believes, and then enter into the Catholic Church. And that's always a good thing for me. You know, I may be the last end of where they're going, because I teach seniors primarily. But starting that freshman year, and it's not just the classes they're taking, it's the environment that they're in. They begin to see the truth and beauty within the faith, and they become Catholic themselves. I had a student a few years ago whose family was not any denomination whatsoever, but he decided to become a Catholic and went through, and then members of the community will be there at his, were there at his baptism.
I'm finding an interesting phenomena happening now. I used to be a principal for 9 years at the parish school that I still attend for parish. Now that I am working my doctoral program and I'm doing work with St. Joseph Radio as their West Coast director, I don't have time to do school anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm watching these former parents that were part of my program. Mm-hmm. They're going through the RCIA program.
Right.
And they're coming through the RCIA program because of the school.
Mm-hmm.
They were their children were exposed to faith. Their children are engaged in faith. Mm-hmm. Their children are engaged enthusiastically about what they're doing with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the parent who isn't involved with the church yet wants to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an interesting, for the last several years, I've watched there's two, three, four people that are from the school that are going through RCIA that I haven't seen. And that's just for this parish, because we serve several parishes.
Well, that's important, Rick, because that's why we're not just a school. Any Catholic school is not just a school where you're going to get an education. It's a ministry of the church. We see ourselves as ministers. And so whether, again, we teach theology or not, we're all part of that ministry. And if through our actions and through our words and through our deeds, we can bring others to understand the beauty of who Christ is, then that's great. That's what we should be doing. We should be, you know, examples of Christ. We should be, no matter what we teach, be a part of that evangelization to bring people into the faith. And maybe we won't convert them. Maybe, but the thing that we'll do is have an understanding of where we are coming from, so that when they encounter people outside of the community, and these, you know, young men graduate and go on, they understand what our faith is, what they believe. Even if they don't convert, they have a better understanding of Catholicism, of what we do as a church, what we do as a ministry. And I wanted to use that word institution, because that sounded kind of like a corporate, you know, a logo kind of a thing. But they understand what it is that we believe. And so maybe they may not convert, but in the backs of their minds, they kind of understand what it is that we do.
I remember a couple of years ago reading a study that came in from CARA, which is an organization run by Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
It's their research arm for Catholic faith. And they had done this study on what's called the disaffiliation factor, which is a long word for basically saying, how well do children who go through Catholic education stick with the Catholic Church throughout their life?
Mm-hmm.
And they came to the conclusion that when you compare children who went through the regular non-Catholic school curriculum for just catechesis, versus those who went through Catholic education, and I believe they were looking, the magic number was about 7 to 8 years.
Okay.
So a combination of elementary and high school, that the disaffiliation rate was extremely low for those who went through and were focused on their Catholic education.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if you raise them in a good Catholic school and they are focused on that, the odds of them falling away from the church mm-hmm. significantly decline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be true. Like, I mean, we have students who come back every year. I have, you know, graduates who return and visit the school on spring break or during Christmas, and they come back and they get out a little bit earlier than we do. So inevitably, they come back and they visit your classroom, which is always great to see your graduates coming back. And so inevitably, they'll talk about, you know, the things that you talked to me about in class at senior year, you know, I kind of didn't really pay attention to it. They're seniors. They get senioritis. Right. I'm dealing with that right now at Servite. You know, we're coming back from spring break, and it's going to be a struggle, you know, to get them just to get through to finish the end because they're thinking in the future. They've gotten a college acceptance, et cetera. But inevitably, they come back and they say, you know, the things that you talked about, I didn't really consider them too much, or I tested on them. I knew about them. But what you said was true. And inevitably, they're kind of saying, you know, it made me think more about my faith and what it means to me. So they're grateful for that. You know, they come back. We have a lot of graduates of Servite who come back and teach at the school. And there's a reason why is, you know, not just because, okay, it's a great place to work, but because they feel that they've been given something that they want to give back to young men who come back. You know, so we do hire a lot of our alumni who come back and teach. And want to pass on that tradition of Servite to the rest of the students. And I would find that probably the same in a lot of our Catholic schools across the country. Those of us who've gone through Catholic education value what we've been given. Our parents sacrificed to send us there. And in some way, shape, or form, we want to give back to that.
Well, the legacy factor really mm-hmm. goes back a long, long way. The whole reason why Catholic schools became popular in the first place, I mean, they were originally founded in the United States mm-hmm. in order to be a refuge for Catholic immigrants that were coming over and being persecuted mm-hmm. by the majority non-Catholic Christian mm-hmm. groups that were here. And they became very important in our culture when, if you were a Catholic, you were discriminated against mm-hmm. in public education. Mm-hmm. So at the time, it became important. I think, to a sense, we've kind of lost a sense of that us versus them mentality, which
right.
in a way, that's a good thing, except in some ways, we're kind of back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of parents want to admit that. But in our society, if you are a Catholic, if you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead, mm-hmm. if you really believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and certain things are right and certain things are wrong, you're politically incorrect. And
well, no,
that's a problem.
That's taking place more and more on our public school campuses. Again, there's great dedicated teachers, a lot of friends who work in public education, and, you know, they've got a valuable ministry as well. But what you're beginning to see is a denial of the truth, a denial of reality of what we call essences in the philosophical realm. And we do a philosophy class that I teach. It's one of my favorite classes to teach at Servite is a philosophy class. But what you're ending up seeing is that the culture that used to be pretty much Judeo-Christian has pretty much disappeared in our public campuses. So that if you are a person of faith, if you believe in certain, you know, essences and certain realities that are there, it's going to be contrary to what the public education system may deem acceptable. So if you believe in traditional marriage, as a student, you may find yourself on the opposite side of the politically correct, so to speak, vision of where education should go. So you might be, you know, cast as a person who's maybe uncaring or doesn't prejudice or whatever the case might be.
And the reality couldn't be further from the truth.
You know, yeah.
There's a love for people who
exactly.
who may not see things the way that we do, but we see things the way we do because we truly believe there's something beyond ourselves.
And in our situation at Servite or any Catholic school, we can speak to those issues from a love perspective. From, you know, we accept them for who they are and to love them as individuals.
We are talking with Daryl Sequeira, who is the chair of the theology department at Servite High School here in beautiful Orange County. And we are talking about the value of Catholic education, especially in our society today. And when we come back, I want to delve a little bit further into Servite itself, but also the nature of the community that gets built. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the good offices of Relevant Radio. And we're high atop the Tower of Hope on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I think I got all the buzzwords.
There we go. We did.
You're listening to Daryl Sequeira and I talk about Catholic education, and specifically about Servite High School. And I want to talk a little bit about what people are going to encounter when they go to Servite. Mm-hmm. So what's the program like? When you start your freshman year, what would be the highlights, perhaps even the lowlights, of what a young man would experience by entering mm-hmm. Servite High School?
Well, once again, you get accepted to the high school. You go through, in the summertime, we call it Freshman Formation Weekend. And it really is a great experience for the young men who go there. It's just the freshmen, they're all together as a group. And then the upperclassmen, the leaders of the school will be there. So you have juniors and seniors who will help out. Once in a while, sophomore might help as well. And the basic idea of freshman formation is to bring them together, because they're coming from a variety of different backgrounds, you know, different areas of the Diocese of Orange and even LA and sometimes even, you know, in the Inland Empire. So a lot of these guys may not know each other. But the idea is to see them all themselves as now no longer coming from this parish or this region or that region, but they're all together now as one in the Servite way, so to speak. And we talk about that, the Servite way. They understand what the mission of the school is, what they're coming into, and they're part of this now brotherhood that extends, you know, from alumni going all the way back to when the school was founded in the 1950s. So they're part of this tradition that dates back to the 13th century of Servite friars. And they're referred to at the end of that as now you're a part of the friar community. And so we really try to emphasize that and try to do that throughout the whole 4 years. So we'll have a focus for the sophomores, for example. We'll have a retreat day just for the sophomore class. At the end of the junior, senior, they can do a Kairos retreat, which again is for juniors and seniors to delve deeper into their own faith.
Now, how many kids are roughly in the freshman class? Most years.
Most years we have a little over 200, so between 200 and 20, 250.
This is important for our listening mm-hmm. audience to get their head wrapped around. Mm-hmm. At most public schools, you're talking about well over 1,000 students for the freshman class. Sometimes 2,000 or 3,000, depending mm-hmm. upon the mega schools that are out there. Mm-hmm. So we're talking 200 students in this class.
Right.
The teachers get to know these students.
Yes.
Not just the bad ones. they get to know. There are no bad students. Okay, there's one or two. But anyway, they get to know all these students mm-hmm. and their strengths and weaknesses, what their special needs might mm-hmm. be, what their accommodations need to be, mm-hmm. both official and unofficial. Mm-hmm. And the students that come into Servite High School, they become a known part.
Yes.
And a valued part of the community.
Yes. Really. And you know, one of the things that, again, I think we'll find this in most Catholic high schools, probably not, if not all, you know, you have the regular academic counselors who are going to counsel them for academic reasons and, you know, look forward to what colleges they might want to attend to evaluate their, you know, academic performance, if they've got any kind of special needs that they need to be addressed. We have all of those things. But then again, the other side of that coin is the formation side. So we have formation directors at Servite for each grade level, so that if a student is dealing with maybe an emotional issue or a spiritual issue, we'll approach it from the entire person's perspective. So that sometimes things that may appear on the academic side of it, you know, all of a sudden the grades begin to drop. Well, why is that? Are they struggling with the class? If that's the case, then the teachers can work with the academic counselors to figure out maybe there's a learning disability
so
or something.
So your teachers are going to catch those types of things.
Yes,
as opposed to the experience that a lot of parents have with a number of different schools, where if your child is dropping, you need to be watching out very carefully.
Correct.
Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
your child will drop and the mm-hmm. teacher isn't going to let you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
That happens
yeah.
a lot in a lot of schools mm-hmm. that I happen to know.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is, and this has been my experience as well, mm-hmm. is that in Catholic education, the communities are usually small. And that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. Modern Day is a very large school, for mm-hmm. example. But Connolly, for example, is a very small
yes.
Catholic high school for women. Rosary is a little bit larger, but still a very small mm-hmm. Catholic high school for young women. And then Servite, of course, is for young men,
mm-hmm.
Small. And everyone gets to know everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you get to know who the students are. You get to know kind of, you know, who your, you know, say your bad students, your good students. They're all, you know, they're all young men trying to figure out their way in the world.
Yes, they are. They're all
and
teenagers.
Some have good days, some have bad days. I mean, there are sometimes, you know, you go through a class and the student who, you know, gives you a little bit of trouble each day and they're just being boys and they drive you crazy at a time. But then you begin to figure out, you know, if you have a question about a student, you go to the counselor and say, hey, what's going on with this particular student? Because his behavior seems to have dropped off or academically seems to be, you know, not turning his homework or whatever the case is. And then we can kind of put things in action. We can call the student in and say, hey, is something happening? You know, it can be, again, it can be the formation director. It could be the academic counselor. Even sometimes the dean of students might get involved with that, especially if he's getting into some discipline issues. So we'll pull these various things together to see what's going on here. We'll contact the parents to make sure that maybe something's going on in the home. You know, and it's that level, I think, of attention that Catholic schools and small schools can get that sometimes, again, unfortunately, can get lost in a large school environment. You know, as I said, my daughters went to a fairly large public school, although not the largest in, you know, where they went to. But their encounters with their counselors was maybe once a year at the most. And it was usually kind of, okay, what course are we taking next year? And okay, great, you're not doing anything. So, you know, but again, given the caseloads that they've got, you know, one of them might have a caseload of 800 students. You know, we have four counselors for all the grade levels, so you're talking about, you know, at least 100 to 200 plus the fact that you've got, again, the formation directors, each one for each grade level. You've got their teachers involved. So there's a lot of ways to help support the student at our school.
So the freshman comes in. They're also introduced to, you said, formation directors?
Yes, formation
directors. What's that about?
So each level has a formation director under our formation program, which means that they look at the specific spirituality for the freshmen or the sophomores or the juniors or seniors. Obviously, a freshman formation program is going to be a little bit different than the seniors. Seniors are getting ready to go out into the real world, as we like to say, out of high school, basically, the adult world that they're going to be encountering. So their formation is going to be a little bit different, focused on leaving the high school environment, leaving Servite, and continuing the traditions of the Servite order and what we formed them over the 4 years. The freshmen are going to be adjusting to high school, so their program is going to be a little bit different. So we might take the freshmen on a formation on their separate small groups individually from the rest of the students simply because there are things that freshmen are dealing with. So each level has that, so we can, again, we meet as a faculty once a month, we meet at, in grade levels, and we meet with the formation director. So all the senior teachers will meet with the senior formation director, Brendan Ronan, and we'll talk about, you know, whose students are doing great, what students are we concerned about, how do we help these students who maybe we are concerned about. So at least once a month, we're doing that on all the grade levels so that the teachers can meet with the formation directors and the counselors are usually there as well in those meetings so they can hear not just from the academic side of it, but from the formational side, what's going on with the students.
See, this is what I think most parents don't know who don't have their children in Catholic education, is that it isn't just public school with a Catholic overlay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not public school with Catholic flavoring sprayed on.
Yes.
This is about a ministry of Jesus Christ where everyone is focused on caring for the children, raising the children, mm-hmm. forming the children.
Yes.
Forming the young men, or at a different school, young women,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't fall through the cracks, so mm-hmm. that their strengths are enhanced and their weaknesses are augmented,
mm-hmm.
so that they are able to respond to their call and be all that they can be. And you've got a number of different people all along the way
mm-hmm.
who are focused entirely on trying to make sure that child has the development that they need.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So as they're going through their sophomore year, their junior year, their senior year, what are some of the things that they're going to encounter along the way? The one thing in the back of my mind, because I happen to know your son,
mm-hmm.
he was very excited not that many months ago about robots.
Yes.
So what's that about? And what are some of these things that they're going to encounter that, in a way, are what they'd encounter at a public school, mm-hmm. but still they encounter it differently?
So, again, at Servite, we've got a number of different programs. We've got the athletic program, which, for again, we're well known for. But my younger son, again, who's coming in as a freshman, you know, he's not an athlete. His older brother's an athlete. He runs cross country and track, does fairly well at it. He's more interested in science. And so we have a robotics program that goes and competes across, you know, Southern California. And I believe they've gone on now to the nationals. And every year they've kind of accomplished that. And so they get an exposure to engineering, science, what we call STEM programs. They compete on a national level. We have, you know, partnerships with various aerospace companies and tech companies that come in and help. And parents, again, the parents are a great part of the support of the school survey. And that's
we need to talk about that in just a minute.
You know, that the parents come in and they volunteer times. And I know a number of the people in the robotics team, their sons have graduated from Servite and they're still involved with this program because They love the program. They love the school. It was a great gift to their sons who are now gone from the school, and yet they remain involved with the program.
So when you're going through a program like this robotics program, how many kids are probably involved in those competitions from Servite?
With the robotics program, I believe there's at least 20 to 30 students that are involved with it, and also girls from Connolly and Rosary will be a part of that program as well. So the team is not just Servite, it's Servite, Connolly, and Rosary. So the young women who don't have, you know, aren't able to support a robotics program at their individual schools will come to Servite. Same thing with the theater program at Servite. So we're an all-boys school. Obviously, we put a production on. We need women involved with that. And so Servite will draw from Connolly and from Rosary High School. The girls will come in, and they'll participate in the productions at the theater. Same thing with the sports events. So my son runs track, so we run track with Rosary High School. So the Rosary girls will be there on our track meets when we have the meets there. You know, we're not against St. John Bosco, which is our, you know, an all-boys school, so they obviously won't meet with that. But when we compete against, you know, Mater Dei or against Santa Margarita or Orange Lutheran, the other schools in the Trinity League or J. Sarah, it's girls and boys. So there's that interaction part of it.
At the public school that I have some friends that are involved with, the parents are involved in booster club type stuff, but it's only a few of them, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So the band program may have 200 students in the band program at a large school, maybe even more than that. But you've really only got about 10 core parents that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't that way at the Catholic school for most of these programs, is it?
No. I mean, our parents are involved. They volunteer, you know, countless number of hours to support the programs. I mean, I'm going to speak from, you know, the track and cross-country program, give a little shout-out to Coach Gibbs out there. You know, the track parents, I mean, they come together. They put everything together. With that, as Coach Gibbs would say, without the parents, this program wouldn't run. Bottom line. You know.
Well, and it's funny because I remember when I was a principal at an elementary school, when parents would come in kindergarten or first grade and they'd bring their first child in, we would talk about how this is not just your child's community that's being formed here. You're going to be associated with a whole bunch of other parents, and you're going to be running your child to different events. You're going to be involved in different birthday parties. You're going to be involved with all sorts of fundraising activities. And as you continue to work together, these other parents become your support network. They become your life.
We support one another. And again, they're very generous to other members of the community, you know, who need support. So if there's a student who's struggling, you know, maybe the parents have come upon hard financial times, which again can happen to anybody. There are parents who are willing to support and say, hey, what do you need? So recently, you know, we had the fires out here in Southern California. We had a student whose parents lost their home. And so immediately, what do we need to do? Food, clothing, you know, how do we support these parents in this situation? My own son, again, we live far away from the school. So, you know, there are times when I've got to go back and, you know, he's running a cross country practice or something. And a parent will say, yeah, you can stay overnight. No problem. Anytime. Just let him come and stay overnight. You know, well, do you need anything? No. Just, you know, he's like one of our boys. And so we'll just take him in. And I think you find that kind of a thing at a majority of Catholic schools, that parents are willing to help each other out, whether it's in the sports or robotics or any of the activities that are there. Now, I will say that I think there is always that we can do more to help minister to parents because, you know, parents, we kind of become isolated in our little communities. And sometimes we feel like we're the only ones kind of going through these things. And so maybe what schools can do is begin to do more ministry towards the parents in terms of adult education as well. I mean, I think that's something that all schools, Catholic schools in particular, might want to take a look at. I know we started to do some of those things at Servite. In the previous school I worked at before, we try to do something along those lines.
And when we come back, I would actually like to talk about what can be done into the future in order to enhance the program that you have, but also what is happening or is in the process of happening with Catholic education to see that these schools actually continue to grow and thrive. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Daryl Sequeira, who is the chair of the theology department at Servite High School here in Orange. The city you're actually in is
Anaheim.
Is in Anaheim. And we will be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occcatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. And before I get too far into this last segment, Daryl, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
It's been my pleasure, Rick.
You have been a faithful friend to the program. You've been willing to come in. I understand it's been fruitful for Servi. You've had a couple of people inquire because of the times you've appeared on here.
And again, a number of times comments will be made, you know, teachers will come in or people say, hey, I heard you on the radio. I'm like, oh, okay, you did. Well, that's great. I'm glad, one, you're listening.
Michael Brennan has told you that there have been some students that have come in and actually have heard the radio program, tried out, and they stayed.
Yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Even if it only gets one or two, that's good. I'm interested in where we're going from here. I know that a lot of schools in Catholic education, the story is not as good as what's been going on at Servite. Servite is doing very well. I understand. Over the decades, the numbers have gone down.
Yes.
But the quality of the program has stayed vibrant. The price continues to go up for most Catholic schools. I assume Servite has been battling that, but
it's always the economic factor to it. I mean,
there are some things that are written into the works you can't do much about. So I know that every time that minimum wage goes up, in order for a teacher to be salary exempt, they have to be making, it's like double the amount that they would be making on 40 hours of minimum wage to be salary exempt. And so every time that goes up, say a dollar, it really goes up $2 for the salary exempt per hour. It makes it hard if you've got teachers that are at the low end just coming in. They can't afford to be put on salary. Otherwise the numbers keep going up. It's different.
Economic struggle. You know, any school that exists on tuition dollars and trying to fundraise and to make ends meet. You know, my previous schools I've worked at, we've always struggled. Hand to mouth, so to speak. And even at Servite, we've got a great alumni base that helps support the school. A lot of donors, and we've really built a good foundation for that. But every year is, again, a different year. And depending on how the economy goes and how parents can afford, we have to be very much aware of that in tuition dollars and fees and things like that.
You've mentioned a couple of things that I think are going very right at Servite. Just in the last little thing you said, you not only have been paying attention to what you can do as far as the amount of money that you're charging, but you've built an alumni base and a support base to help augment what the financial costs are for Servite. So your fundraising isn't just off of the parents.
Correct.
Your fundraising really is off of a very large and developing a supportive community. And that's an important aspect that is a part of Catholic education.
Yeah, the idea would be eventually to grow, the foundation for Servite, and this would be for any Catholic schools, the Diocese of Orange here as well, the same thing, to grow a foundation that would be able to rely less on the tuition dollars coming in, because that's going to fluctuate given, the parents' ability to pay, and to support the school in a way that doesn't rely on that, that can augment, again, teacher salaries and facilities maintenance and everything else to keep those buildings and things going. I mean, the buildings are older buildings and they continue to get older. You've got to upgrade them, put, new infrastructure in, whether it's electrical or, internet infrastructure, any of those kinds of things, to make sure that your buildings, number one, are up to speed. And that's always going to be a difficult struggle, because you've got to, balance that out with what you can pay your teachers. And as you mentioned, working in a Catholic school, we all know that we're not going to be making maybe the same dollar amounts that we might make in a public school, but there's that trade-off. Again, the fact that I, as a teacher, I know I teach theology, so it's obvious that I'm going to talk about religion. But whether you're teaching history or science or anything else, you can bring then share with your students that aspect of faith that you can't do at a public school.
So you've got this attention to what the parents are able to do. You've got this large and growing community that helps support. I also noticed you talked about a couple of priests and that you do a lot of outreach to the larger religious community. Mm-hmm. You're part of a religious community.
Yes.
I know that the individual schools in the Diocese of Orange, they're usually tied to either one parish or to a couple of parishes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of cultivation that goes on to try to get the priests on board. And you've got that tie-in, which is so important because it helps keep the school focused on what they're all about, which goes back to that last major component after you've talked about your parents being involved and your larger community being involved and your priests being involved. You're talking about the focus on Jesus Christ. And that really is where Servite's all about. Have you had anybody go through in the last few years that have taken on the possibility of a religious life?
Yeah, there are a number of young men who've gone on to, you know, look at, and particularly the Servite Order. Obviously, we're trying to build the Servite Order as well to look at religious life. And so they go through, we have Eddie Murphy, who's our vocations director at the school, who comes up and then guys are interested.
Not the comedian.
Okay, no. I'll sometimes tease him about that. But, you know, so, you know, he'll bring young men who might be interested. We'll talk about vocations. We'll bring in, sometimes he'll bring in one of the priests from the Servite Order and into the theology classes. And just begin asking, thinking about vocation. And I think when we talk about vocations at the school, it's not just vocations of the priestly life. Obviously, we need more priests, you know, and brothers to serve God's people. But we also talk about vocations to marriage. What does that mean? You know, so that young men coming out of Servite, I always like to try to kind of tease the guys thinking, you know, and to a certain degree, look, you know, we're not just here to form, you know, to have you become Servite priests. That'd be great. But we also want you to be good young men who are going to go out there and be good husbands and fathers to serve the vocation of marriage. You know, so it's
when's the last time you heard that talked about at a public school? Not to dedicate the public school,
but
you
can't
do it.
I don't think they can do that. But again, and you know, we talk about, I mean, I really challenge a young man on their vocation to ask God what it is that you want to do with your life. Sure, you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, an engineer or whatever the case, whatever, you know, you want to go into a trade. That's great. But how do you, in that career path that you've chosen, live out your faith? I mean, do you kind of just put it aside and, you know, go on church on Sunday and then the rest of it, the week, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make money? And I try to emphasize, look, you need to be more than that. You need to be, you know, giving to the other person. You know, one of the, we call formation themes is a necessity of the other at Servite, where we talk about that, not maybe in a direct way, but in an indirect way. You know, how are you going to serve other people? How are you going to serve your family? Or how are you going to serve your community? In what ways are you going to do that? So I think we specifically make mention of that to try to get them to look beyond themselves and look to how to serve others outside of themselves.
The single greatest decision that anyone ever makes is whether or not they get married, and if so, to whom. And that means they have to have formation. And one of the things that is, it's the in, one of the intangibles of going through Catholic education is that formation that we are called for the other person. We are called for the other people around us in our community, but we're also called to understand what family is. Even if we come from a family that was imperfect.
Correct.
What is it that God would like for us, and how can we engage that so we don't do too many things that mess ourselves up, and we are able to make a good decision, a good sustaining decision, so that we're happy. Truly happy for the rest of our lives. That's, I think, in a nutshell, what is offered in Catholic education.
Yeah, it's the difference that's going to be out there. Again, we want our kids to go to college, but we want them to be happy. What does that happiness mean? Is it things that you want to achieve, or is it true happiness found only in God? You know, so the motto at Servite comes from St. Augustine. And St. Augustine, I mean, it's credo ut intelligam, which is, I believe that I might understand.
It's easy for you to say. Say it again.
Credo ut intelligam.
Okay.
Which is, I believe that I might understand. But I always go back to St. Augustine's saying where he says, you know, my soul only rests and when it rests in thee, O God. So you're only going to find true happiness when you find it in God. And I think that saying, those things that we bring into our school, into our classroom, again, I think in some way has a deep impact upon the young men who leave, that in some way, shape, or form, maybe not in the immediate graduation. You know, sometimes, you know, kids get out of high school, I can't wait to get out, and the seniors will get that way. But years down the road, those few things that we as teachers in our schools that we might have said in the classroom will come back, so to speak, to haunt them. And I always say, you know, I'll come back to haunt you on certain things, you know, because, and they'll say, well, why did you tell me that? Because, you know, now it's going to be in the back of my mind, especially before, you know, junior, senior prom comes up. There's certain things, okay, now, how are you going to behave? You got to remember, you know, here's, you know, Jesus, here's the Mother Mary, here's all these people going along with you this, and then they all get in their head, oh, now, I said, no, that's right. You can't do those things. And this is why you are different from, and you treat, you know, your dates with respect. You know, and things. So we talk a lot about respect of women. You know, even though it's an all-male environment, you know, we have to have them understand how to treat one another as young men and how to treat young women that they're going to encounter.
So in going to Servite High School, just as the example of that we're talking about, you're not only getting an excellent education, which no one disputes, but you're getting it in a small environment that is focused on Christ, where you're surrounded by people who love and care and are focused on you, where you develop a formation, a vocation that is far more engaged with Christ, where you have a higher likelihood of engaging your vocation, whether it's to the priesthood or to marriage, more seriously, deliberately, deliberatively, where you're able to perhaps be more happy than you otherwise
would. Yeah, and I think, you know, not, you know, we've been talking about Servite a lot. I think that you'd find the same thing in any of our Catholic high schools that are out there.
I mean, I think you're right.
This is, you know, one high school in many that I've worked at. You know, and talking with the other members of the theology departments, you know, as a department chair, we meet on a regular basis with the theology departments of all the other schools in our diocese. And to every one of them, they are focused on the same thing. They are focused on helping their young men and women in a coeducational environment to learn to respect one another, to understand what the vocation of Christian marriage is about and the vocations to the priesthood. So again, while I might not work at Mater Dei or at J. Serra or, you know, Santa Maria, the other schools that we have here, I think we're all focused on that same exact goal as Catholic educators. We want the same thing for our students. We want to make sure that they understand the importance of their faith, number one, and that we're there to support them. So I can, you know, pretty much be assured that if you were to talk to any of the high schools in our diocese here or any Catholic high school for that matter across the country, you'd probably find the exact same thing. Just look at what they do in their schools, and I'm sure you'll find that same difference.
And that really is a difference because we're not just talking about be afraid that the rest of the society is going to hell in a handbasket. It is. I'm sorry, but there are some problems with it. But what you get at a Catholic school is not just protection from that, but a very positive building.
You want them to be the light for the world. That's what Christ calls us to do. So oftentimes I'll tell my students, look, you know, they'll go to a parish with this education program for confirmation. They say, well, you know, we learn a lot more here. I said, no. It's not a matter of learning a lot more. You're the teacher to your peers out there. You are given an opportunity, and every Catholic high school student should know this, and parents should know this. You're given a special gift and opportunity to go here. Now you take that with you out to the world. So you don't hide it away. I got my little gift. I take it away for myself. But again, you go out and you serve the other.
Wow. Daryl, again, I want to say thank you for being with us today and to talk about the impact that Catholic education can have, how tremendous a great gift of ministry it really can be. Would you please lead us in a closing word of prayer?
Sure. As always, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask that we continue to pray for our schools, all those who minister unto them, the support from the parents and the parishes, that God may continue to bless this ministry of Catholic education to be evangelizers to the world. And we ask all of these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today has been Daryl Sequeira, who is the chair of the theology department at Servite High School. If you like this broadcast, and I hope that you did, that you will go ahead and either listen to or turn somebody on to the podcast that's available through OC Catholic Radio at OCCatholic.com. And you can download this podcast or any of the other podcast. I've got at least 100 of them that I've been involved with. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.